208. Tim Walz, the story today. He was not a candidate at all. He said, I'm going to make myself a candidate, and he wins. News breaks this morning that Tim Walz is the selection to be the vice presidential nominee for Kamala Harris. They will address the folks in Pennsylvania. Tough spot, Dave Harrigan, for Josh Shapiro again. Josh, by the way, I think Josh should have been the pick. Well, heck, I think Josh should be the lead person, myself. But Josh, I'm not picking you, Dave, but here's what I want you to do. Come out and introduce us and look like you're excited about this.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Well, if the reports are that perhaps he was wavering if he actually wanted it,
then maybe it's not a problem.
I mean, you might not be too feeling too bad.
I guess this is like if you're both vying for the same guy or gal and you say, I'm sorry, I'm not going with you, but you want to come to the wedding? You want to give a speech?
Yeah, you want to line up with me at the altar while I kiss this person?
Yeah, that's not good. Kurt Dowd has joined me many, many times, the former Speaker of the House for the Republican Party. He has said, local politics, I'm done with you. But he's still involved in the political game and his work right now. And Mr. Dowd is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, good to chat with you, sir. Are you here to praise Tim Walz as you did a few times? Or are you here to crush Tim Walz as you did multiple times right here?
Well, hey, Tad, thanks for having me on. You know what? Probably neither. I think for Minnesota, you know, we've got kind of a rich tradition of vice presidents from Minnesota,
yes, we do.
At least on the Democrat side. And you know, big honor for him to be selected. It's a very, very big deal. You know, I obviously worked pretty close with him, and while we didn't agree on a lot, I'm happy for him and congratulate him on his selection. And now I don't wish he does well. I don't wish he wins the election, but I'm just teasing. But I think, you know, it's probably a mixed bag.
Okay, as a Republican, as someone who doesn't exactly embrace Donald Trump, you know, you're not crazy about him as a human being. First of all, are you going to vote for Donald Trump in the upcoming election?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you're going to vote for him. So
yes.
I just want to make sure that I didn't think you were voting for Harris and Walz, but I thought I didn't know if you're going to maybe vote for a different Republican like some others have. Okay.
No. I support President Trump. No question.
For individuals who are going to call you and they're going to say, as a Republican, what should concern us most about Tim Walz? You say what?
You know, I think the press in Minnesota has given him a little bit of a pass. And you know, a lot of the things that have happened on his tenure, I think are probably going to come a little more to light now that there will be a brighter national media light shining on him. I think, you know, you look at his the largest fraud, this is the Feeding Our Future fraud, the largest criminal fraud against the federal government in U.S. history happened in Minnesota under Tim Walz's watch, right? And I remember back when that happened, I was on a call where the governor was kind of briefing us on it and telling us about it. And he told us and he told the press that his administration found it and then they contacted the FBI. Later we found out with the, legislative auditor digging into it, said, no, the FBI found this and they notified you. And I think that's, you know, those kinds of things are
they matter
kind of, yeah, they do matter
for
and,
sure.
And, you know, while it might be just, well, did we find this or you, I think Governor Walz, and I will say, and I think you probably know this, I actually like him. I consider him a friend. And while we agree on probably nothing, we both like old vehicles, and we text once in a while back and forth about, hey, look at this vehicle or whatever. And I enjoy having that relationship with him. He knows that I'm critical of him on policy issues, and we just disagree. That's the way it is. But in Minnesota, I think we can try to do that in a nice way, too.
Okay. So would you put the fraud issue, and it is a huge story, and I think it's absolutely relevant to the conversation, is essential to the conversation. Would you put that above his inaction related to George Floyd?
I was just going to say, I think the number one, I would probably say the George Floyd stuff. And I think, you know, his handling of that, you know, certainly could have been better. I remember there was at least 48 hours and probably more during the middle of that week where nobody had seen or heard from Governor Walz at all. And things were getting kind of out of control. And then he came out and was very critical of kind of threw Mayor Fry under the bus and kind of blamed him for everything and said, okay, this was Thursday night. Everything went bad. And, you know, today I'm calling in the National Guard and we're going to take over. The state's going to be in charge. And then Friday night, you know, everybody was hoping because the governor said and made such a strong statement that this was going to be solved, and nobody showed up and nothing happened, and the city actually had its worst damage and most burning of buildings on Friday night, and I think, you know, there's famous, you know, news footage from Julie Nelson from CARE 11. Where's the governor? Has anybody seen the governor? As there's helicopter footage showing the city burning, those things. I think this governor has some things that are. You know, people are going to talk about it at the national level with him on the ticket. Now, does it make a huge amount of difference? Do people vote for a vice president? Probably not. They're going to either vote for Donald Trump or they're going to vote for the vice president, right? So, you know, I don't know if he's going to make that much of a difference. But I thought it was an interesting pick. I really didn't think they were going to pick him because Minnesota hasn't been in play for Republicans. You know, Republicans haven't won Minnesota in a presidential race since 1972, Richard Nixon, longest stretch in American history, where she could have picked Shapiro and put Pennsylvania in her column where now that'll be in play, right? So it didn't really bring anything, but I think they view it as kind of a safe pick, right? And I don't know that that's necessarily an automatic. I think when some light gets shined on some of these other things, I think, you know, there are some liabilities there.
It's 2:15. Chad Hartman here with Kurt Dowd. Kurt, can you hang on if I take a short break?
Yeah, sure can.
Let's do this. The former Speaker of the House, Kurt Dowd, talking about Tim Walz, work with him, and is pointing out the differences and also pointing out what we need more in politics today, that you can have strong differences. You can pretty much never see eye to eye, but you don't have to hate the other person. More on what Kurt Dowd has to say on Tim Walz. We're hoping still that Jacob Fry is going to join us today. We may have a scheduling snafu with the previous commitment for the mayor because clearly he's a part of this story. There is no doubt he has not talked with anybody yet today. To the shock of no one, I would like him to talk to us first, and I'd like to ask him some of those questions. So we're still hopeful the mayor is going to join us before this show is done. Jason will have excellent guests. By the way, we'll go behind the scenes a little bit here. Carter was out because Adam and Jordana were at the event today, great event, honoring fallen officers. So we were going to do Ask Adam Anything, but Adam's out. So for the second time, we asked Chris Schaefer. Well, the first time we had Chris on, we had the fallen officer and the funeral. Which,
for Officer Mitchell, so we had to bump it that day.
Yeah. And then our timing was just brilliant with Schaefer because we'd already decided we were going to have Schaefer as a part of Ask. Then guess what happens? WCCO loses power.
TV.
Yeah, TV. Shockingly, it's not us.
Mm-mm-mm.
I mean, if you would have said yesterday, TV or radio is going to lose power and go off the air, I would have said 99% chance is us.
Landslide,
it would have been us. No, we stayed on the air. Who saw that coming? You think Walz is an upset? Nothing. Us staying on the air was a shocker. So not only was it great for us to have Schaefer, because Chris is just such a great person. I've known Chris for heck since pretty much I came back here in 1990. But then the power goes out. Well, then Tim Walz gets picked. Only time Major can come on is 12:35 because Jamie can't switch. And then Jamie comes on with us for 4 seconds. And so we still could have had Schaefer on at 12:35 and we could have kept Major at 1 o'clock. So guess what? Schaefer's on with Jason today.
Why not?
Yeah. Well, they should do Ask Schaefer Anything.
They should.
They should. They, you know, steal the bit. But no, they're just going to talk about the funny power stuff. And also Chris Saliza on with Jason. Let's get back to Kurt Dowd in a couple minutes. All right, let's get back to our conversation with Kurt Dowd. I'm going to tell you, Kurt, I've just had a jarring moment. Kelly Jordan was a fantastic producer for this show. I would love if I had as good a producer
Watch your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, if I just had a Kelly Jordan now, I mean, life would be so much better. I'm saddled with this buffoon. So Kelly is listening, and she sent a picture. I'm interviewing you at the fair. This is, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. Harrigan, you can attest to this. Kurt Dowd looks the exact same now. I look approximately 37 years older.
That might be a little light.
Honestly.
You look awful now compared to that
fellow. I do look. I mean, what the heck? Honestly.
You're doing great, Chad. Don't let them bully you.
No, well, I'm bullying myself. It's yeah, I think I need to go to the plastic surgeon's office rather soon. Okay, I'm gonna read you a text who's mad at you about one of your comments. I know you're not shocked that somebody's mad at you.
Sure. Sure.
There's the big, big lie that the media goes easy on the Democrats. Shut up, Doubt. So, okay. Now, I will say this. The traditional, what has become the boogeyman, the mainstream media, I don't doubt for a second that many of their editorial boards lean left. And I think many of them are very good at cutting that off. Some are not as good at cutting that off, and I can notice how some stories are played. The comeback I would say, though, is the format I'm on right now. Conservative talk radio crushes liberal talk radio, okay? The show that I'm doing and others are doing where it's both sides isn't in any way as popular as conservative radio, and Fox News absolutely crushes its competitors. So I would say conservatives the last 20, 30 years have had a much better chance to receive either fair treatment or favorable treatment than, let's say, where they might have been in the 90s and before that. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think so. I think we might be talking about a little bit two different things. I'm talking about kind of the mainstream media and my experience with the Capitol Press Corps. And you know, a lot of times we always felt like the press was a little bit biased for the Democrats and would give us a hard time and ask us tough questions, but then throw softballs to the governor or to other Democrats. And we were always critical of that. And you know, sometimes in politics, you know, our folks, our research folks would dig up something about the governor and then we would feed it to the press. And a lot of times they would pass on these stories and there'd be nothing. And then later they'd find out that it was a big story and then they'd report on it and pretend like, you know, and it was like, well, we told you about this 2 months ago. So it does feel for us like they get, you know, better treatment. And you know what, today is a day where Governor Walz should be celebrating. And it's a big deal. It really is a big deal. And I do congratulate him. And there'll be a lot of time for folks to dig into his record and talk about, you know, some of the things that maybe he could have done better.
Okay. It's already coming up a lot already, in particular by Democrats who are mentioning that, again, likability. We both agree he's a likable person and he can gauge fairly well. And when he's in front of people, he's an excellent communicator. There's no denying that. But then in the policy parts, as a congressman, where you didn't deal with him much, but you observed him, he was very bipartisan. There's no doubt. There's data to back it up. I think one year he was viewed as the seventh or eighth most bipartisan congressman. And when he ran the first time against Jeff Johnson, someone you know well, that he ran under the one Minnesota blanket. Now, I think to me, there were not many attempts on one Minnesota, and then it dramatically changed when they had the trifecta when he defeated Scott Jensen and they had the House and Senate. So if Democrats are going to say around the country, look, here's Tim Walz, who can work with Republicans. You're a Republican who dealt with him in the legislature for almost his entire run. What would you say to that contention?
You know, I think that would be, you know, a criticism I would have of Tim Walz. And again, I consider him a friend and we're friendly to each other. We like each other, but we disagree on almost everything. But I think he wants to have this perception out there that he works really well across the aisle. But I don't think the evidence is there. And certainly you mentioned after his re-election to governor, so the last couple of years, they've had a trifecta, and they could do whatever they want. And they did. They didn't include the Republicans. They cut the Republicans out of everything and just did whatever they kind of did as much as they thought they could get away with, I think. And I don't know that the Republicans would have done that much differently. But
well, can I stop you on that?
Go ahead.
Isn't that correct? Let's say Scott Jensen crushes Tim Walz, and the Republicans, they get the House and Senate. It obviously would have been very different, but wouldn't they have run the table too and pushed through all the proposals they believed in and this idea that they would have worked with the other side? It really doesn't hold up.
You know, I'm sure we would have tried to move the ball in our direction. There's no question, right? And so, you know, I can't necessarily fault the governor.
Yeah.
Right. But the governor ran, you know, and if you look at the last election, when they did get the trifecta, you know, they won the House by 3 seats. They won the Senate by 1 seat. And if you look at the number of votes, it's just minuscule. It's not like it was a landslide victory. And I don't know that you just because you won every seat and you hold the Senate by one. And then obviously when there's a problem with, you know, Senator Mitchell up north with the burglary thing, you know, it becomes a problem. Right. So it's not like they had this huge, you know, supermajority or anything. And Minnesota is a state that is divided. And while Democrats do have an advantage and have had an advantage, I think Minnesotans like divided government. I think they like people to work together. And I think that's why Tim Walz has been successful by kind of culturing this image of himself that he does work across the aisle. I don't know that here's what I want to say. I don't know that he works across as much as people think he does, but he's been very good at coming across as kind of a moderate, and he is not a moderate. He's the most liberal governor we've had in this state, probably ever. And you can see
you
that
believe
in the
he's decisively
really
more liberal than Mark Dayton, as an example.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely, 100%. Yeah, and I was speaker during Governor Dayton's, you know, full second term for those 4 years and worked with him very closely. And people asked me, you know, after Governor Walz got elected, aren't you glad to be rid of Governor Dayton and have Governor Walz? And I kept telling people, oh no, I would rather have Governor Dayton back. You know, I think he was easier to work with from our perspective. But yet Governor Walz has been able to kind of cultivate that image of somebody who works across the aisle. And if he can continue to do that, he'll be in addition to the ticket. But I think his record, I think folks will dig into it a little more than maybe has happened in Minnesota. And you know, these big fraud things, if it was one, I think maybe it's okay. But people look the other way and say, well, something happened. It's not like you did it. You just didn't catch it. But, you know, just this week they announced that, you know, all the $430 million worth of unemployment was overpaid during COVID.
That's 40% true. It's a huge amount, but also
and it just keeps going. That's a new story just this week.
I agree. It's staggering. Here's what's probably the most troubling about it. Compared to the other states, Minnesota was one of the best, and it was $430 million, as crazy as that seems. Let me just finish, and again, remind folks, former Speaker of the House, Kurt Dowd, kind enough to join us. Let me just go back to Trump. I get as a Republican on the core issues, you're going to agree with Donald Trump. But on the human being, when he's just lying about Harris again, well, she just decided to be black out of nowhere. When he just brings up, you know, when he can't admit that he lost the election, that when he brings up these things where you know he's not telling the truth, and he's just playing the hits, and he really makes no attempt. He's making no attempt to bring the country together. He's just trying to play to his base. Doesn't that part of Trump really bother you?
You know, I certainly wish he was a little more polished and a little more of a statesman. But I'll tell you this, and this is where my perspective comes from. I was in state government for 13 years in the bowels of it, right? I was in the room. I was the speaker. I was the second, you know, as the speaker, you're the second highest elected official in the state.
Yeah.
And so I saw government from the inside, and I saw government, you know, just the bureaucracy of it and how difficult it is. Here's the problem in government, Chad, is we don't do things because we should do them. We do them either because some special interest group wants us to do them or because we've always done it that way. And what I love about President Trump is that he's the first politician that I've seen, and this is why I appreciate it, he's the first politician I've seen that stand up and push back on that and say, you know what, no, we're not going to do it because we've always done it that way, or we're not going to listen to this special interest group. We're going to do this because it's the right thing to do, and it's what we should do, and it's what's good for our economy, or it's what's good for Americans or Minnesotans. And I respect that. And I think this government has gotten too bureaucratic, and I think it needs a shakeup. So yes, while I don't think Trump is the candidate I would create if I could create one, I love the fact that he's willing to stand up and say it like it is. And sometimes he sticks his foot in his mouth. Obviously, everybody knows he knows that. But it's also, I think, why people on the right are attracted to him.
I'm not sure he knows that. I gotta be honest.
Well, maybe.
I think he's rather impressed by himself. All right. I always appreciate it, sir. Hope all is well. We'll talk soon.
Sounds great.
Kurt Dowd with us. It's 2:33 here on CCO.